Aura Weber kept watch on the twilight-shaded woods, longing for Nathaniel to appear, but wishing he'd stay away. Behind her, the people of Little Pond warmed themselves around a modest bonfire. Every evening for the 3 weeks leading to festival, the mound of logs would grow until the finish of the games. Then the grand fire would be lit and the feast served. Although this night was only the first, the fire blazed brightly enough to light up the square. She gazed at the bell tower above the commons. Perhaps Nathaniel was right, and on this night he was in no danger. The bell had not yet tolled. The vicar had not yet arrived. Spicy, sweet wassail still bubbled in its cauldron, and the music played on. A trio struck up a lively reel, and she turned to listen, tapping a toe and patting her thigh to the rhythm. At the fire's edge, a girl bobbed up and down to the beat in a purple hat with 3 snowflakes embroidered on the brim. Nearby, young couples looked on while elders sat on the porch of the commons with firelight flickering across their faces. She had spent that afternoon with Nathaniel, sitting on a log by the pond. The leaves in the surrounding forest had completed their autumn change, and stunning hues of red, yellow, and orange reflected off the still water. She'd stared at the colors, struggling to find a way to convince him. After her 5th try, she stood and planted her hands on her hips. "I forbid you to come," she said.
"Since when are we in the habit of forbidding each other?"
"Since you've come of age and grown too bullheaded to take care of yourself." She'd been close with Nathaniel for as long as she could remember. Even as a small boy, he'd wondered what the world must be like beyond their tiny village. But now he was an adult, and she on the threshold. She'd always been the mature one, bothered by his childish notions. Time to forgo his fantasies and become more responsible. Yet he resisted, stubborn as always.
"What would you have me do, Aura? Cower in my father's cottage?"
"Not cower, but be less conspicuous when the vicar arrives.
Only 1 in 3 are taken."
She bent low and pressed her palm to his cheek to force him to face her. "It's not worth the risk. Have you forgotten the look of those who've been taught? The far-off gaze, the dreams seemingly ripped away?" He grasped her wrist and eased her hand aside.
"What good are dreams if they stay unfulfilled?"
They'd had this conversation many times before, every day for the past month since he'd come of age. He'd brooded on this one thought. Life was passing him by. "But we're so young," she'd say. "Our future's so filled with possibilities." He'd scoff at her, never satisfied with the way things were.
"What possibilities are there in Little Pond?"
Little Pond was the smallest village along the edge of the mountains, much smaller than Great Pond, which had 2 shops and an inn. The pond that gave her home its name was a lovely spot, filled with lake trout and frogs with huge eyes. But Great Pond was triple its size, with an island in its middle. It bettered Little Pond in every way. Nothing much ever happened in Little Pond, and so nothing much happened in their lives. Yes, they were both good at many things, but he always wanted more. At 17 years, he was already one of the strongest in the village, though he'd never been tested in a fight. He could run fast, among the fastest in foot races at festival, though he'd never finished first. Like her, he possessed a fine mind, the 2 of them the smartest students in school, though he always scored 2nd to her. And so despite her encouragement, he brooded. Was he destined to be good at everything but fall short of greatness? What if the opportunity for greatness came only once in a lifetime, a single perilous choice to change the world? Would he charge forward, believing in his own courage and strength, or run away?